So we're going to kick off the morning with COVID briefly after a week of on again, off again for the Trans-Tasman bubble and the Delta variant always threatening. But we're going across to the UK where their Freedom Day is tomorrow. And it kicks off a new strategy there to revive the economy, the education centre and general mental health in the population, as the UK government sees it. Joining us again on Sunday morning is New Zealander Dr. Gary McLean, Professor in Molecular Immunology at London Metropolitan University and also a researcher with Imperial College. And he's an international authority on coronaviruses. Good morning, Gary. Good evening to you.
Yeah, good morning, Jim. Good evening from London.
1,200 researchers I see and New Scientist, including New Zealanders, have signed a letter in The Lancet opposing your Freedom Day, citing a threat to the world. What does Freedom Day actually mean, please, in real terms? Why are researchers so alarmed?
So what it means is that all businesses in England are allowed to open as normal. There'll be no social distancing requirements. Mask wearing will no longer be legally mandated in public spaces. So basically, what everyone wants is you can go into a pub, stand at the bar and order a pint. People haven't been able to do that for a very long time. It's all table service right now. So that looks good from the point of view of businesses, you know, reopening as usual. However, the Mayor of London has just said in the last few days that face masks will still be required at all times on the transport network, and workplaces are going to have their own rules as well. Most of them will enforce wearing face masks inside. And that's really only for England, though, at the moment. So the governments of Scotland, Northern Ireland and Wales, and they set the public health policies quite differently to England. They don't plan to lift all the restrictions yet at all.
What does the lifting of restrictions pose in terms of danger? Why does this raise the risk of new variants emerging? What are the potential mechanisms for that, please, Gary?
Right. So whenever there are high rates of infections, which we've got right now in England and the UK as a whole, they estimate there's about 1 in 95 people have the virus, and that's up from 1 in 160 last week. And today we've had 50,000 new cases, and the hospitalizations are going up as well. So are deaths, but they're much, much lower than the wave we had in the winter. So what that all means, when you've got all this increased rate of infection, which is not only happening in the UK, it's happening elsewhere as well. And when you couple that with a population of people that are only partially immune, we know we've got the vaccines going out to lots of people, but it's not covering enough people just yet. So there's a potential there for new concerning variants to appear, and then they could be exported around the world, and the risk of all of this happening increases. So we saw what happened in India earlier this year. The Delta variant there really infected a lot of people. That variant has now spread to 100 different countries, and it's dominating everywhere it goes. So in reality, it's a kind of a simple numbers game. The more chance the virus has to replicate in people and transmit between them, the greater chance it then has to accumulate mutations. It's an RNA virus. That's what it does really well. And that could then give it a further advantage in transmission, perhaps also escaping vaccine or prior exposure immunity that people generate. And so when you ease these restrictions amid rising infections, as is what's happening right now in the UK, this just increases the risk of new variants emerging. We know it's just going to infect more and more people.
Even if new variants don't emerge, Gary, but you're suggesting they quite likely might, New Scientist is reporting 100 projected deaths per day in August anyway, as a result of Freedom Day. I suppose the question is whether we know enough about the virus and its present manifestation yet to lean on the current vaccine so heavily.
Right. Well, we know the vaccines, they're not 100% effective. And even if people are double jabbed or double dose, whatever you like to call it, you can still be infected. You can still pass the virus on to others that are more vulnerable. I think what's going on now is we're learning more about the virus, but it looks like a decision has been made by governments and authorities that we've got to rely on these vaccines because it's the best way we currently have of controlling the virus long term. The governments have admitted that we can't control the virus very easily. It's here to stay. We're going to have to live with it, a bit like influenza. And some years, in fact, might be worse than others in terms of infections and deaths. And we still don't really know yet if the virus is going to become seasonal like influenza is. So we've got to understand a bit more about the virus and how it's going to transmit and all these other conditions that control that as well. There are plenty of other factors that drive transmission. There's host behavior. That's the way people interact and behave, the way the virus evolves, and we know it can accumulate mutations that give it advantage, and the rates of immunization in the population, that's going to have to improve before we really get out of this.
One last thing, Gary, according to your Academy of Sciences, and this is a potential issue everywhere, I suppose, up to 60,000 people in England could die from flu this year because so few people have immunity due to lockdowns. And I suppose our managed isolation here in New Zealand deals to this sort of problem or not?
There's a real potential for these other respiratory viruses that they've had basically a year or more off, and they could come back with a vengeance everywhere. So as a population, we've not had the exposure to these usual viruses, and we haven't then had that ability to build up all that immunity that we get from them and would normally have in regular seasons and years. So influenza is one of these viruses that authorities, they're definitely and they're rightly worried about. And in a bad year for flu, like we had 5-6 years ago, 2014-15, in the UK there were nearly 30,000 deaths from that alone. But there's also another virus, respiratory syncytial virus, or RSV. Now, that's beginning to surge again.
Yes.
There's double the number of cases in the very young. It's happening in New Zealand. I've read all about it. It's happening here as well. So it looks like, really, if you think about it, the managed isolation is not helping with that. So even with that managed isolation, there'll be still the same problem. It's a lack of immunity in the population. Therefore, there's more susceptible people for these circulating viruses to infect. Of course, people still need to interact to facilitate that transmission between people. So that's a big worry here in the UK later this year after the controls that we've currently had for quite a while after they disappear. And then with all these respiratory viruses having somewhat similar symptoms as well, so everyone with a bit of a cough or a slight fever, they'll think it's COVID, but it might not be because all these other viruses will come back. So in reality, I think it looks like we've lost another year to this pandemic. So I'm looking forward to 2022 and better outcomes.
We're in a jumbled kind of situation, aren't we? It gets more complicated as we go along in some ways.
Yep, indeed. It's just not going away as fast as we hoped and believed, and it's not yet a seasonal virus, so this is going to play out for a while yet, I'm afraid.
At least your weather's good, I'm hearing.
The weather is wonderful. It was a beautiful day today, and we're looking forward to another couple of days in a row of even warmer and better temperatures. It's about time because it's been really wet this summer so far.
Always very good of you to give us your time. Thank you so much, Gary.
Oh, you're welcome, Jim. I always enjoy being on your show, and I hope your listeners continue to enjoy my contributions.